Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Chucky's. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, joins us at 9. Mike Locksley, Terps coach, at 9:45. But right now, it's Mike Jones, NFL columnist for The Athletic. Good morning, Mike.
Morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Well. Give us kind of your general thoughts on the Commanders so far through 2 weeks.
I'm encouraged by what I see out of Jaden Daniels and the way that they are using him and supporting him and setting him up for success. As you know, a strong rushing attack is a young quarterback's best friend. The quick pass is getting the ball out of his hands quickly. I like that. Little concern for Terry McLaurin that, he has not been a big factor in this, but I think that as the season goes on, as, you know, I think right now Cliff is trying to help Jaden get in the rhythm and, like I said, get the ball out of his hands quickly. But I think that that connection will grow because, obviously, he's a very reliable weapon. The defense has been worse than what I expected it to be. I know they've got holes, a pass rusher and in the secondary. But I just thought that it'd be a little bit better that they would be able to – Dan Quinn and Joe Witt would have been able to mask some of these problems and that they'd be a little bit better. But 1-1 after 2 weeks, that's, definitely a positive. They got the win that they needed to get. You had to beat the Giants, so they got that. So, all in all, a decent start.
Mike, what's the mood surrounding the Giants? They take the loss to the Commanders. They fall to 0-2. They got annihilated in week one by the Vikings. I mean, there's clearly unrest there with Saquon performing well in Philadelphia. Like, what's going on behind the scenes after the 0-2 start in New York?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there actually is a whole lot of surprise by this. Look at the roster. There's so many holes. They don't have a real quarterback. They went into this, I think, hoping that Daniel Jones was either going to prove and play his way into the job long term or play his way out of it. And I think that, we know how that's going to end. And they're going to try to be competitive, but really they're probably going to be positioning themselves for one of the top draft picks. What happens with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I don't know. I know that the stress level has got to be high there, but I don't think that this is really surprising what we're seeing.
Mike, while we're on the Panthers, let's stick in the NFC South. Coming into the season, a lot of people looked at that division and said, kind of a weak division, didn't expect much out of a team like the Saints, but the Saints have been reborn with Clint Kubiak calling the offense there. 91 points through the first two games. They get a big road win at Dallas, and the Bucs get a big win by going on the road and upsetting the Lions. So that NFC South, a little bit tougher than people thought. Oh, and I'm not even mentioning the fact that the Falcons knocked off the Eagles at the link.
Yeah, I thought that it would be Tampa and Atlanta really kind of jockeying for that, and that, the Saints would just be kind of, 500-ish, and then that obviously the Panthers would bring up the rear. Did not expect this out of the Saints and this explosion and revival that we've seen the last 2 weeks. The first week I was like, it's against the Panthers. They're really bad. But then the second week to do that against Dallas, which is a quality team, believed to have a quality defense. I talked to, a couple people in the league that were surprised as well. I think a lot of people looked at this as this is kind of a, year that Derek Carr seemed like he was kind of trending downwards last year, and this might have been the beginning of the end. That maybe, didn't know if he was actually going to even hold on to his job throughout the season. But he looks like he's been reborn. This offense is explosive. And, this is going to be a tight race, I think, between those three teams for that division.
So when you look at the 0-2 teams, Mike, I mean, some of them we're not surprised by. We're not surprised by the Giants. We're not surprised by Carolina or Denver, teams like that. But some of these other teams that have started out 0-2, Ravens, Bengals, Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville has been horrible offensively, 30 points in 2 weeks. The Rams are in real trouble because of their injuries to the receivers. But so out of those 0-2 teams, I'm guessing it's the Rams is your answer, but who do you think is in the most trouble?
I mean, health-wise, because the Rams, you know, because of, you know, all those injuries, yeah, the Rams, I don't know, man, that they are able to return this thing around, because Matthew Stafford's top two weapons are out. And every time Stafford gets hit, you know, he's got a back or it's his ankle. I mean, he's kind of, you know, seemed like he's already gutting it through some injuries early as well. So I don't know how this thing turns around. You got to be concerned if you're Jacksonville as well, because Trevor Lawrence, again, is just not looking like a guy that you paid $55 million a year to. You know, he should be comfortable in this offense now. Yes, I know that he doesn't have Calvin Ridley. He's got young receivers. But you were a $55 million a year quarterback, former number one overall pick that everybody said was a generational talent. Mm-hmm. You've got to elevate your team. There are quarterbacks working with less who are doing better. So I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but it's disappointing to see them at 0-2. And again, I don't know, when you're looking at some of the other teams in their division, like the Texans, and obviously their young quarterbacks in Tennessee and Indianapolis. So maybe the chance is there, but
and Jacksonville, by the way, has to go to Buffalo on Monday.
That's an L.
In a must win.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how they do it.
I don't think they do.
I didn't know if Buffalo was going to take a step backwards this year because they didn't have Diggs. But looks like Josh Allen is, you know, again, that's a quarterback who's elevating his team, doing everything he can. And that's kind of what Trevor Lawrence needs to find a way to do. And I don't know if he's going to.
Mike, is there a quarterback on a shorter leash than Will Levis in Tennessee? We saw the brutal pick six against the Bears in week one. And then last week we saw him throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, basically, you know, a bad lateral. They got fumbled when they were in scoring range, and Callahan was losing his mind. And like in this presser, like I can't remember a coach critiquing his quarterback so succinctly in his presser as Callahan did. So, I mean, you don't have great options there. Mason Rudolph's the backup, but if Will Levis keeps doing what he's doing, he's not going to be starting for very long.
Yeah, remember the year that RG3 kind of threw everybody under the bus and then Jay Gruden undressed him and listed every single thing he did wrong?
Yeah, yep.
You know, I thought that was bad, but Brian Callahan took it to a whole other level. He's a grown-up. He should know what to do. I mean,
yeah, that was bad.
Brutal. Like, yeah. He was just, like, not holding back on that kid. So, yeah, I think that when they look at their roster, they feel like, hey, we've got a lot of good pieces. Yes, we have young guys. We've got a mix of veterans that can help carry this thing. They just need somebody to take care of the football. And so, yeah, it might be that Will Levis winds up getting benched and Mason Rudolph's in there because they feel like they can compete. It's amazing to me that Malik Willis, like, were they so off that they were fine to get rid of him? And we saw him look competent in Green Bay when he was supported by a strong run game and everything like that. I think Brian Callahan needs to look at this and be like, okay, how do I keep him in manageable situations and take a lot of this workload off of him, because he is not ready yet to be a guy who drops back and throws 30 times a game, because he does not have the decision-making and the recognition. It could wind up that he gets, you know, yanked. We saw Bryce Young get benched. He might be the next guy.
Talking to Mike Jones, NFL columnist for The Athletic. So the Chargers are off to a 2-0 start. And besides the Saints, they have the highest point differential in their favor. Are they good, or is it because who they've played?
No, I think that they have a formula that might not be sexy, but it works for them. Strong run game. They've got a good defense. And look, they have a good quarterback, but the weapons that he's working with are young, and, you know, they've kind of retooled there at the skill positions. I don't know if they're going to go out there and beat the top teams. I don't think that they will, but they're going to be competitive. They're going to win the games that they should. And again, this is Jim Harbaugh's formula, you know, tough, physical, grind it out. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, you know, he only had 200 rushing yard games, I think it was, in the last 3 or 4 years, and now he's got 2 in 2 weeks. Pretty impressive.
Great story.
So I'd ask kind of the same question about the Saints, who are also off to a 2-0 start. Now, they played the Cowboys, but they beat up on the Panthers in the first game, but they've rolled up almost 100 points in the first 2 weeks. Should we completely buy into this Saints story?
Well, their defense is playing at a really high level as well. I mean, look, they went up against the Cowboys offense that is pretty talented. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, forced Dak into some mistakes. It was a real struggle for them. So maybe their offense comes down to earth just a little bit. But I think that their defense is for real. And I think that Clint Kubiak is smart enough that, look, he used a heavy rushing attack to set up the passing attack. I think that, yeah, they definitely are a team that's going to give some teams trouble this year. I don't think that it's going to be like, oh, that 2-0 start was fool's gold.
We're joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Mike Jones, NFL columnist for The Athletic. Did the Jets get one of the steals of the draft in Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin? He's got some size, too, 6'1", 235. He's only 20 years old. He came in and got 9 touches in the win against the Titans, scored 2 touchdowns, and that's a nice little backup plan for Breece Hall if anything goes wrong with him. And I think he popped up on the injury report with a quad injury before they take on the Patriots tomorrow night. That's a nice pick in the mid rounds by the Jets.
No, that's great. And they're definitely in need because, you know, injuries have been something that Breece Hall has dealt with. And mm-hmm. so you need to have another guy. I don't know if they expected him to be this impactful, but it looks like, hey, like you said, it could be a steal, and I think this is what they have to do. They have to really lean on the run game as Aaron Rodgers is still kind of working his way back. And I don't know what fully back Aaron Rodgers is going to look like at 40 years old coming off of an Achilles, you know, but this is working for them, and I think it's an approach that they need to take.
Ravens, Cowboys.
Yeah.
Ravens are 0-3. Now, look, the division's still winnable. Obviously, it's so early.
0-2.
I'm sorry, 0-2. Could go 0-3. But I mean, it's a huge game, even though we're only week 3. Cowboys need a win. They'll fall to 1-2. Ravens obviously would like to get a win. They don't want to start 0-3. I don't know. When's the last time Harbaugh started 0-3? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's not as much of a must-win situation for Dallas as it is for the Ravens. Again, like you said, the division is winnable. Pittsburgh is in front right now, but I think that their quarterback issues are going to wind up popping up, and you know they're not going to be able to beat a lot of teams just leaning so much on the run, and their defense, you're going to need your quarterback to make some plays, and I don't know if either one of those guys is going to be able to do it. But the Ravens really have to get a win here because we know Cincinnati always starts slow and then they catch fire. So the Ravens now need to go out there and get a win. But look, they're still figuring things out. They lost their defensive coordinator. And they lost the guy they would have liked to have been their defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver went down to the defensive coordinator in Miami. And then Denard Robinson's defensive coordinator in Tennessee. So they've got three of their big part of their defensive brain trust are gone. And so they're figuring things out. They lost Patrick Queen. They lost Jadeveon Clowney. So that defense has definitely got holes that they're trying to fill and figure out. Their offensive line has retooled, and so guys are still growing into their roles. There's a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson now. I think there were times when it looked like he should have taken off and run, but I don't know if he's trying to prove that he can just be a passer. I don't know, but they're going to need
not in week one. In week one, he ran 16 times.
Yeah, I know, but last week there were definitely times when he could have against that Raiders defense, and he didn't. So it was kind of like, oh, well, which one are we going to be right here? So, look, they've got to go out there and find a way to get a win again against a really tough team, we think, although, you know, Dallas didn't look so tough last week, but I think that they're going to bounce back. It should be a really good game between those two teams.
Mm. All right, Mike, good stuff as always. That's Mike Jones from The Athletic. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Good talking to you, buddy. Man.
Cakes noted it is a day of Mikes on the show. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM at 9. Mike Locksley, Terps head football coach at 9:45 here on The Junkies.